Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to do something a little different. I'm not going to open my Bible, so I don't want to throw you. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to start with that'll be on the screen, but we can still get excited about it. Ready? Here we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. See, sometimes I throw people. They're like, do we yell when he opens the Bible or the first Scripture? Here's the deal. You can shout about the Bible anytime you want to shout about the Bible, all right? But we will open the Scriptures in just a little bit as well. But I wanted to start off because I wanted you all to have the same translation as myself on this. Ready? Here we go. We're talking about worship, talking about giving God our praise. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Isn't it good that we don't have to just praise God on Sundays? We can praise him every day. We can declare him and his goodness to everyone we come in contact with every single day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We can proclaim him and share that good news every day. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things that he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be revered above all gods. The gods of other nations, they're merely idols. But the Lord, he made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty are in his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Underline that in your Bibles because we're going to focus on that today. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world is firmly established, cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord is king. Can we all be glad and rejoice for a second? One, two, three, rejoice. Amen. Man, we have the glorious God that we're here to fellowship with today, that we're here to worship today. But I want to bring you back to that verse, that passage of Scripture there, where it says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves, bring your offerings, and come to worship him. I want to talk to you today about the connection between our offerings and worship. Offerings and worship. Now, I don't want you to be nervous or scared. I'm not receiving an offering at the end of the service today. I am going to teach us how to present offerings, because offerings aren't just finance. Offerings have a lot to do with all of us, our bodies, our talents, our gifts, our thoughts, our energies, our offerings truly to the Lord. But here over the last few weeks, we've discussed the singing part of worship. But there's also this thing about offerings in the Bible, and it's all through the Scripture. There is this connection between something with our worship, with our words and our mouth, and something in our hands, and it's all worship. You know, today, everything that we do in this service is truly a worship service. Too many times we, you know, compartmentalize things, saying the worship is the singing portion, then there's the offering portion, and then there's the speaking portion. But yet the entire thing is the worship service. Because when we're singing our praise to God, that's worship. When you're giving your offerings, that should be a part of your worship. It should be an extension of what you were just singing about. It should be an act of honor, an act of love. It should be an offering from your heart. It's part of worship. And then even while you're listening to the word, you're being transformed and you're agreeing. You're saying, God, make me that. God, help me to be that. God, I give you my life. All of me belongs to you. I'll follow your word. That's worship. Do you see how the whole thing is a worship service? Amen. You know, it's not that, you know, difficult or confusing to think that offerings are connected to our heart, which is what worship is about, don't you think? You know what I love about offerings? I love that offerings are an outward expression of the feelings I have towards God on the inside. They're a physical manifestation of what's going on in here. They're a tangible, material thing that I can put a value in and say, God, I love you so much. It's more than words. My words coming out, that's just one way for me to worship you. But here's a physical, tangible expression of the way I feel towards you. And when we get that perspective, the offering doesn't become something to be feared or something to skip out on and go to the bathroom. It's funny how many times the people, it's like the offering like surprises them every week, you know? It's like, oh, there's an offering this week? Yeah, there's an offering every week. I'll let the cat out of the bag. It's going to happen every week. And what happens is people, what we do is we don't necessarily do what this scripture says, where it says, come to worship, bring your offerings and your praise. There's an intentionality there. There's a thought process there. There's something in your mind that says, I'm going to worship God and I'm going to prepare something as a physical expression of how I feel on the inside. I'm going to present it to God. Offering should never be a last minute thought, because that's not an offering. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like the offering comes up and we're like, oh, I forgot about it. What do I got? What do I got? I got chapstick. Throw it in. You never have to be shocked. There's always going to be an offering. You never have to be surprised by it. But and again, it's not the last minute thing. It's something that has your heart. That's an offering. Something that has a connection, a value to us. And that's why we can't wait to give it to the Lord. You know, all of us have those times where we bring gifts to people. And some of those gifts, you know, they're very thought through. They're very valuable. There's something that matters to us. There's something that we've thought about the person that's going to receive the gift. And there's an excitement in our heart because we know this is something that will bless them. We know this is something that they're going to enjoy and appreciate. It's going to speak of our relationship to them. And then we also know what it's like to just give something because we got to get it over with. And you know, you're on the way to a wedding and there's certain couples that maybe you know, thought through what you're going to present to them, and it's a special connection of your gift to them. And then there's times where we're like, oh man, forgot the gift, quick, go to Walgreens. And you pick the first thing off the shelf and you just grab it just so you can get it over with and say, there, I gave you the gift, be happy, you know? And there's no value in that, right? There's no connection in that. Not saying that that's bad all the time. Some of us, Walgreens is a miracle blessing from God, because we would lose all kinds of friends and families without having those Walgreens moments. But what I'm saying is, even in the natural, it's so weird that people think the church is so odd and like, how could God want offerings involved in our worship stuff? This is a very natural thing. All of us know that gifts are expressions of the way our heart feels. I mean, you look at it at Christmas time, man. You know, you love your kids. You're like, oh, I love my kids. I respect my kids. And you tell them you love them and you show them you love them with your words and throughout the year. But then there's these gifts that you present to them, and it's a connection. It's an expression of those inner feelings, and you present it to them. That's something we do all the time. You see grandparents do that with their grandkids, and grandkids want stuff that really they shouldn't even have. You know, mom and dad already said no, but grandma and grandpa trump it for some reason. They have this all omnipotent power to do whatever they want to do. Can I get an amen from the grandparents? Thank you very much. But there's just this thing where the grandkid wants this. I want a pony. Then you're getting a pony. Because there's this love and there's this sense of, I can tell this grandkid, I love them, I'm proud of them, I'm using my words. But then there's just something about a physical gift that demonstrates that inward emotion. Are you understanding? This isn't far out of our sphere of understanding. This is stuff that we do all the time. And God is no different. Our offerings are connected to our worship. Our offerings they say something about how we feel. They say something to God. They express something. They help capture the joy in our heart, and they help give it to God in a physical, tangible way. That's why, again, I go back to, when we receive offerings, it shouldn't be a last-minute thought. It should be something that we brought to the house of God. You know, even when you prepare your tithes, I thank God for the tithe, I thank God for offerings, but really we shouldn't be writing out our tithes in the middle of church. We should have written them out with intentionality before we ever arrived. And we should have prayed over them even before we pray over them here, because there's value. You're presenting an offering. This is your expression of faith and gratitude to God. You know, with our tithe, you know, people say, oh man, you know, sometimes the devil gets in your head and you're like, you know what I could do with that tithe? If all of us were honest, right? We're like, oh man, I could do this with that. Of course you could have done other things with that tithe. But you know what? That's part of the value of that tithe, is that you sacrificed. There's something in you that says, God, I could have done this, but it's it's special. It could have done this, but God, I give it to you. You see, that's part of the gift. That's part of what it's saying. You're saying, God, even if I say no to certain other things because of this, there's a value on you and you're worth this. That's part of what makes it special. If you wouldn't have ever missed it, it wouldn't be special. Are you understanding this? You know, Marie and I, when we write out our tithe actually has to go to the district of Illinois as an Assemblies of God pastor, so we have to mail it. I don't even get the ability to bring it into a sanctuary like this. But so many times, Marie and I will put our hands on that tithe, and we'll be blessing it and praying over it before we put it in that mailbox. And we'll be speaking over it, saying, God, this is yours. We bless it. We give it to you. Use this to change the state of Illinois. Use this to plant churches. Use this, God, to be a blessing all over the place. And that's truly, that's the sense of like, I'm giving it. I'm bringing it with intentionality. I've thought about this gift. It's meaningful. It's connected to our worship. It's saying something to God about what we feel on the inside. You know, there's all kinds of examples throughout the Bible about gifts and offerings. There's a first mention of sacrifices to God with a couple of brothers named Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. These were Adam and Eve's sons. Adam and Eve, first people, in case you're new to the Bible. God made Adam and Eve, and then they had some children. Cain and Abel were some of these first sons mentioned in the Bible. And here we see them offering a sacrifice to God, giving offerings to God. And it's interesting in this story because God accepts one offering and not another offering, which means it's that God is paying attention to the motive. God is paying attention to the offering. And the example that we see here is Abel brought an animal sacrifice, something that God had asked for, something that God had given as an example when he killed some animals and covered Adam and Eve, their sins and shed blood. And he had made a pattern talking about sin and bloodshed. And God had already set the tone of what he was looking for. And so Abel brought God that kind of an offering, what God wanted and was looking for. Cain brought God fruit and vegetables, and God did not accept it. Cain was mad that God didn't accept his offering. And God basically said, if you do well, I'll accept your offering. But here's what I want you to see. Abel brought God what God asked for and desired. Cain gave God what Cain wanted to give God. Do you see the difference in the offering? One is giving God what God desires, giving God something that is connected to obedience and to your heart, and one is just getting an offering over with and just giving him what you care, what you just casually say, that's good enough. That's what God should get. God's paying attention to our offerings because they speak about what's going on in the inside. They speak about what's going on in here. Are we giving God what he's seeking, what he's asking for, what he's looking for, or are we just saying, this is good enough? This is all I want to give. This is it. And God is paying attention to those two models. But I want you to know, when I'm talking about offerings today, first, I don't want to limit it to money. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And I'm also not talking about amount. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about focus and value and putting something in it that means something. Because here's the key. If it doesn't mean anything to you, why should it mean anything to God? If your worship doesn't mean anything to you, why should it mean anything to God? If your offering, if you wouldn't miss it, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then why are you giving it to him? Come on. Thank you very much. Does this make sense? And you can say, oh, preachers and their offerings. I did not create offerings. Do you understand this? Preachers did not create offerings, but we are supposed to communicate it. And yes, I will admit to you, preachers have been bad. Churches have done bad things with the money and weren't faithful. And people have done all kinds of things bad. But that doesn't mean that the offering shouldn't be given to God. Does that make sense? Yes, I will admit people have done wrong with offerings. But don't let it stop you from giving your offerings to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Just because you had bad food sometime doesn't mean you're going to stop eating, everybody. Amen? There's good food out there. But I want to talk to you about the amount real quick, because people get all hung up with the amount. God, first of all, whether you give God $100, $10, 50 cents, or if you give him $10 million, God doesn't need our money. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about the value. It's about what you're bringing. It's about the intention on the inside. Are you excited about what you're bringing? Because it speaks. It proclaims. It's a praise. It's an offering. It's not a tip. It's not a burden. It's not a responsibility. It's worship. Amen. I love this. I love talking about this. You know, if you even bring it into a practical sense with your spouse or your, you know, like we said earlier, with your grandkids or kids, you know, when I give Maria stuff that matters and that means something, it's like I can tell her I love her every day. But there's times where I just want to bless her. There's something in here that says, I want to over the top show you how much you mean to me. It's just part of who we are as a culture, our DNA. We get it. Offering speak of heart. Offering speak of heart. Remember when you were dating and you were willing to do whatever it took to win that person's heart? Come on now, anybody? Okay, four of you. We have a marriage conference. It's in November 7 and 8. But man, when we were dating, it was like, whatever it takes, man. Because I love this woman. I'm going to get her the big roses. Dozens of them. I'm going to spread them all over the floor so we can walk on roses. And I'm going to take her to those fancy restaurants where you spend a lot of money and you get a little bit of food. I don't even care because I'm going to show her I love her. And there's this expression that comes out of your heart. And then we get married and it's like, really? Food was that much money? Can we do top ramen? Need some ramen noodles or something like that? Do we have to go out tonight? So we got to get back to some of those things. But what I'm saying is this whole idea of offerings and love and connection, it's not just church. It's not like, guys, this just makes sense, everybody. Offerings and giving gifts out of love and expression. But it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. You know, Jesus, in Luke chapter 21, he was watching an offering, which is really interesting because Jesus is interested in what's going on. What are these tangible expressions? And he says here, this whole story goes, he was watching these offerings, and it says, he, Jesus, looked up, and he saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in her two mites. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more in than all. For all of these, out of their abundance, or out of their surplus, what they wouldn't even miss, are you understanding? Have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty or out of her need, put in all that she had, all of her livelihood. And Jesus was taken back by that to where he stopped the disciples and he says, look at that love. Look at the faith this woman's expressing to God. Everybody else was just getting it over with. Everybody else was just giving out of surplus. This woman gave out of what she didn't even have it. But look at how she's honored and given to God. To where we're still reading about it 2,000 years later. You understand? God pays attention to our offerings because they mean something to him. Amen. And just like your kids or your wife or your grandkids, if you just give them the leftovers or you just give them the cheap, it says something. But when you give something that means something, even if it wasn't you spent a lot of money on it, maybe it's something you don't have a lot of money, but it's something that you've, you know, thought was precious to you and you've had it. Maybe it was an old watch from your grandfather or something that your mother gave you. And when you give that to your son or your daughter, it means something. It speaks something because it meant something to you. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. See, now we're opening our Bibles so you can cheer again. Ready? Open. 1 Chronicles 21. Oh, I love this. I love learning how to worship God and not just with our words. You know, there's a whole generation out there that calls themselves worshipers because they listen to hill songs and they walk around with guitars and they sit around singing songs. But truly, we're not worshipers just because we sing songs. We're worshipers with everything that we do. May those people that are walking around singing songs, I pray they're giving offerings to God too. Because you're not a worshiper unless you're doing all of it. You're giving your song, you're giving your offerings, you're giving your talents in life to the Lord. Because it's all offerings. Otherwise, you're just a singer. But a worshiper worships God the way the Bible tells you to worship God. Which is with everything. With everything. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. Are you there? Now this is David made a mistake. David's a man after God's own heart, but he started getting proud. He started counting all the people. He wasn't supposed to count the people because God knew there would be arrogance because God was prospering him. He wanted to see how prosperous he was. And there was this plague that hit the land And there was this angel that was like a death angel that was over the nation with a drawn sword. David saw this, and soon we'll see this other guy sees this angel. And this prophet, Gad, gets sent by God and says to David, what are you supposed to do in order to like stop this whole mess that David had started? So that's what's going on. Verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up, build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which was spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned back and saw the angel. That's the angel I was telling you about. And his four sons who were with him hid themselves. And Ornan was threshing wheat. David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went from the threshing floor and prostrated himself before David with his face on the ground. Then David said to Ornan, give me the site of this threshing floor that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. For full price you shall give it to me, that the plague may be restrained from the people. Ornan said to David, take it for yourself. Let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I will even give you the oxen for the burnt offering. I will give you the threshing sledges for wood and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all. But King David said to Ornan, no, but I surely will buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord, or offer a burnt offering that costs me nothing. I want you to see something there. I want you to see David's heart. David had this, he knew that the offering, for it to really be an offering, it had to come from David. It'd be like someone coming to you saying, hey, I'll cover your tithe this week. Some of us would be like, hallelujah. Yes. But you know what? If they do it, it's not your tithe. It's not your offering. Understand, David knew this. You know, so many times, again, there's this idea of it needs to show value. It needs to have cost something to me. It needs to mean something to me. If it doesn't mean something to me, why am I giving it to him? Because it's worship. It's not duty. It's not obligation. It's not just tradition. It's an offering of praise out of a heart that's grateful to God. Amen. If it's just duty, you keep your duty to yourself. Nobody wants your duty. You give your offerings to God. It's a heart thing. Amen? It's a heart thing. It must be of value, must be important, thought about. Now, yes, there's times where we give things because you didn't know there was a missionary, or you didn't know there was a thing, and so we quickly do something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, these moments where we pray over and we're bringing it to church. It's something that we've pre-thought, something that we bring to the Lord. And again, it's not just finance. We'll talk about that in a second. Offerings. Let me just explain real quick. Offerings throughout the Bible, Old Testament especially, gives us great pictures of their expression in the New Testament. Why do we give offerings? How do we worship God and give these offerings? How do they connect? Well, in the Old Testament, we saw people worshiping God with their offerings for what he'd already done. You know, when Abraham gave his tithe, which is the first mention of the tithe in the book of Genesis, Abraham had a great victory, and he had rescued his nephew Lot, brought him back, hadn't lost any men, was very prospered in his journey. And the Bible says that he took a tenth, which is what the word tithe means. He took a tenth of all that he had, and he presented it to Melchizedek, who was the king and the priest of a city called Salem, peace. And he gave that tenth out of gratitude for what God had already done. You know, I'm all about the tithe opening up doors for our future. Praise God. God even says that there's a blessing and there's future. But too many times we think tithing is just about the future. Thinking, if I tithe, I will be blessed. The true beginning of the tithe is I tithe because I've already been blessed. Does that make sense? Now we reap what we sow, and so God always continues to take that faith, take that love, and it begins to bless your future. But truly, the tithe originated out of a gratefulness of past victories. God, I tithe off of what has come in, what has come in. You have fed us this week. You have provided for us this week. You've given me beautiful children. You've given me a beautiful marriage. You've given me a safe, wonderful home. We live in the best country in the world. God, there's so much. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not going to hell. God, you healed me. You turned my life around. You filled me with the Spirit. I tithe because of the past. And yes, God uses it for our future as well. But this worshiping God with our tithe was worshiping him for what he's already done. Again, worship is not just about gifts and money. It's worship. It's worship. It's, I worship you for that victory of the past. I worship you for the last week of victories. I worship you for what you've brought into my life. I worship you for the past. And then offerings of worship were also meant for what God is doing right this second, right in this moment. You know, people would bring their offerings like a lamb, and they would bring it to the altars, and they would lay their hands on it. And in that moment, they were receiving forgiveness, because by faith, they were placing their sin upon those spotless lambs, believing for the future Messiah. And when they brought the lambs and the priests, and they would come and lay their hands on those offerings, they were believing God for what God was doing in that moment. God was redeeming them. God was forgiving them. God was restoring them. God was ministering to them. And so there's the worshiping with offerings for what God has done, and now there's worshiping with offerings because of what God is doing right now. He's restoring me right now, and I worship you with an offering. Do you see that? And then they worshiped God with offerings biblically in the Old Testament for what God would do. You know, they would bring offerings of worship or offerings of gratitude for a battle they were about to fight. They would sacrifice to the Lord saying, God, we worship you and we thank you for going before us and we thank you for victory for what we're about to engage in. They would bring an offering and present it to a prophet who was about to minister to them and say, you know, could you help us? And they would begin to bring offerings for what God was about to do. So what I want you to see is offerings and worship were connected to the past, connected to the present, and connected to what God would do. All of it worship. All of it was worship. We don't buy God. Isn't that awesome? What could we give God that he needs? What could we give God that would buy his favor, that would buy his blessing, that would buy his victory? Nothing. Offerings are not buying God. Why offerings are important and why offerings engage a level of the supernatural is not because of the amount. It's because of the heart. It's because of faith and love. Faith works by love. Are you understanding this? It's not the amount that God is moved by. It's the expression of love and faith that God is moved by. We're not buying God. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about kinds of offerings so that you're not just limited in finance, because we get so stuck there. Although I don't want you to be intimidated about the finance part. We'll get there in a second. But first and foremost, you want to know what the offering God wants? You want to know? Do you want to know?
Yes.
Thank you for being so cooperative this morning. Let me tell you what God wants. He doesn't want the money. God wants you. God wants you. That's what God wants. He wants you. There was a story. I remember this story growing up that was told in church. I don't know if it was true or not, but it was just a really great story to picture what I'm telling you today. But there was the story of this little girl who heard a message about something similar to what you're hearing today. And the pastor did receive an offering at the end of that message. And the little girl looks at the usher who came by with the plate, and she looks at the usher and she says, could you lower it a little bit? So the usher brings it down a little bit. And the little girl says, just a little bit lower. So he brings it down a little bit. Just a little bit lower. And so he just like set it on the floor. And the little girl then steps inside the offering plate. And that was her offering. She gave herself to the Lord that day. You know, truly that's what the Lord wants. Amen. It's not your money in that plate. It's you in that plate. It's not even the plate. It's you in general. God wants you. You know, the Bible, the first mention of worship, I told you about this a few weeks ago, was in the book of Genesis. I believe it's Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. The first time the word worship is connected in the Bible doesn't have anything to do with money. Nothing to do with money. It has to do with Abraham obeying God. Abraham was asked by God to give his son Isaac on an altar. Now, those of you who don't know the Bible don't realize that God didn't actually take Isaac. It was just to test Abraham to see if Abraham would love God more than anything. And he didn't really require Isaac. But Abraham was going to this mountain, and he was going up the mountain, and he looked at his servants. He says, you servants stay here. The boy and I are going to go up and worship. That's the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. What he truly was saying was the boy and I are going to go up and we're going to obey God. God asked me for something. And God is my covenant partner. And whatever God wants, God gets. God has all of me. God has my obedience. God has my yes all the time. If God says it, I say yes. You understand? That's worship. That's worship. God wants us. God wants obedience. He does not obedience like obey me, but there's this heart that says, God, I'm yours. And whatever you say, I say yes to. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says it like this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of what?
Worship.
It's you that God wants. You know, there are people that will give money. You think it's the, you know, you don't think this way, but it's true. There are people that will give money to God because it's easier than giving themselves. They write big checks to charity organizations to get their conscience cleared. You know, I have an Italian background, if you didn't know that. And I had an interest in some of the old, you know, gangster stories and things like that. And I studied some on Al Capone. And interesting thing about Al Capone was he gave a whole lot of money to church. He gave a whole lot of money to charities. But you know what? He never gave himself to Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not about money. It's about you. It's about you. God wants you, my friend. If you think just writing a check is just like, well, just give God what he wants and then everything's cool. God doesn't want that. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to live for eternity. He died for you, not your money. He didn't die for your money. He died for you. Amen? He died for you. God wants you. That's the first offering we give God. If you haven't gotten to that place, then everything else is a mute discussion. You can sing songs till you're blue in the face, but you're not worshiping. Because God doesn't want your songs, he doesn't want your money, he wants you first. And then when you give him you, your songs and your offerings have some sort of value. Amen? Again, it'd be like a husband that gives his wife all these gifts, but he doesn't give her himself. You understand how stupid that is? That's stupid. And maybe that's a prophetic word for somebody in the room today. That's stupid. To give her gifts and not give her you, that's stupid. Those gifts don't matter. You give her you. Thank you. Next, finances, yes, they do matter. You know, as much as we say, it's not about finances, there is something to do with physical, tangible things. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the offerings are represented in animals, calves, you know, sheep, doves, oil, grain, material, physical things that had value, real earthly value to them. And yes, they were a part of their worship experience. They were part of their expression. It had an earthly value. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8, speaking of our tithe, speaking about Jesus, I just want you to see how this exchange happens. It says this. Here, mortal men or people receive the tithes, okay? But there, he, there being heaven, there the right hand of God, the throne of God, there Jesus, he receives them, or those tithes, of whom it is witnessed that he, Jesus, lives forever. What I want you to see is this. When you give your offerings in those moments of worship, the expression of your offering time to worship, you're not giving them to men or to ushers. You're giving them to Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Your offering, I just touched my backside because that's where my wallet is. It wasn't like weird. Okay, I was just thinking, especially like, hey, you know, it's because my wallet's there and I was just thinking about it symbolically. So sorry, that might have freaked you out. Anyways, when I give my offering here, the Bible says he receives it there. Amen. I want you to see that Jesus is paying very much attention to every part of the worship process. He's receiving your praise with your words. He's receiving those offerings. You don't give offerings to the church. Did you know that? People think I give offerings to pay the light bill. I give offerings to pay salaries. I give offerings. If that's it, you've missed it, man. That's not an offering. That's a bill. You don't give offerings to church, you give offerings to Jesus. Yeah. Offerings are worship. You don't worship church, you worship Jesus. Yeah. Amen? You don't give offerings to church, you give them to Jesus. And the Bible says he receives them there. Offerings are worship. I love it. You got to see this, tangible things. You know, and even people who don't have a lot, Because a lot to some is a little to others, and what's little to some is a lot, and you know how that works. But the Bible says in Leviticus, you know, chapter 5 and chapter 14, there's even discussion there for people who don't have what other people have. They're supposed to give lambs, they're supposed to give these bigger offerings. That was what was expected. But if you didn't have a lot materially, the Lord would say, then I want you to give two doves. What I want you to see here is this. God never looked at the offering as a burden upon people. We could look at it and say, God, don't you have any mercy? These people don't have a whole lot, and you're still asking them to do something? Yes. Yes, because in the moment of our greatest need, we still need to be worshiping God. Amen. And here's the thing. Let me give you a clue on worship. Worship elevates everything. If you're in a depressed place and you begin to worship, what happens? Your spirit elevates, right? Elevates everything. You know, when you're in a difficult, challenging place, worship brings the atmosphere of heaven and lifts up your current difficult circumstances and changes those circumstances. Worship is powerful, right? So if you take that expression that worship elevates, and if offerings are worship, then your giving in those offerings are not just saying, I love you, Jesus, but worship begins to elevate your situation. Your financial situation begins to change things because faith and love is being expressed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can we please just see that worship elevates? Worship brings us up to where God is. Worship takes our life from the valley it might be in and puts us into a supernatural position in the presence of God. And if offerings are part of worship, then that worship would do the same thing. It elevates our situation. It brings us up. And God looks at people, even in financial difficult places, and says, please, don't stop giving something. Whatever you can give, give something, because it will elevate your faith. It will elevate your situation. It will bring you up. It will bring you out. Never call yourself too poor to worship God with something physical. And that's not a preacher saying it. That's your Bible saying it. Now, maybe it's not the same gift as somebody else, but God still said it's important that you still do something. You still do something. Amen? You know, I remember in our lives, I've had a lot of song services. I've been in a lot of worship services where we sing a lot. And I remember certain times where God, in certain church services, has asked Maria and I to do something above and beyond the normal, natural, typical giving. And God says, give this in particular amount. And at those moments, we faith-filled people say, are you sure about that? And then if you're really spiritual, you'll say, well, Lord, if you're dealing with me, you got to deal with my wife. And hopefully it'll be a lower number than what you just told me. But I can remember those times, those offerings that God was preparing me to give him a worship offering that was bigger than the norm, the average. And what I'm trying to communicate here is this. I remember those worship moments of giving those offerings more than the song services I've sung. There's a lot of songs I've sung that I can't remember anything. But because those offerings cost me something, had great value to me, were very important to me, I can tell you where I was in that in particular church. I can tell you what seat we were sitting in. I can tell you what it felt like when he spoke to me to do that. They meant something. Those physical, tangible expressions of worship left an imprint on our marriage, changed something in our future, something we look back on. They were worship experiences that literally transformed something about our lives. Like I said, I've sung a lot of songs, and I can't remember what I was wearing in all those meetings. But I can tell you exactly what happened when, with a physical, tangible expression of worship, God says, that's the worship I want. Because it marked us. It moved us. It touched us. It was valuable to us. Which then, what happens is once you get over the whole offering phobia, maybe that's a new phobia. Once you get over the whole offering phobia and really begin to realize its worship, its value, you begin to get excited about bringing your worship to God. And then once we said yes to those types of things, you begin to anticipate the day that you get to present that in particular act of obedience and worship to God. And then you're almost super excited, like, get through the singing because we have an offering to bring to the Lord. Amen? Awesome. Lastly, as I close, our gifts, our talents. It's not just our words and our singing. It's not just our money and these things. It's us. It's our gifts. It's our talents that we offer to the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use those gifts. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's ministry, then let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, do it with all liberality. He who leads, do it with diligence. He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Basically, it's use your gifts for worship to God. You know, so many times, ushers, if you begin passing out those boxes that I have, please. You know, so many times people think, if I'm working in the nursery, serving in the nursery, then I'm missing the worship service. No, you're not. You're having a worship service because you're giving your gifts to the Lord. If you're helping in the kids ministry, if you're helping in the ushers, if you're helping with greeters, if you're helping prepare the sanctuaries, if you're helping and volunteering and using your gifts are not just money. It's not just song. It's your talents being given to God. You are worshiping God when you're using the skills and the gifts and the resources that God has given you. Some people are brilliant in the areas of all kinds of stuff, teaching and finance. They're brilliant with things like even maintenance, and they're brilliant with things like fixing things. When you're using your gifts to serve God, it's also worship. It's also acts of worship. Please don't disconnect that. Some of you, you've been coming and singing for years and years, and I'm here to challenge you today. Mobilize yourself. Get involved somehow in helping this place work, in helping this place grow and succeed, and use your gifts. You are so brilliant. You are so smart. You are filled with answers. You are filled with potential. You are filled with talents. And you begin to use those talents for things that are kingdom advancement. Now, some of those things aren't just kingdom advancement, obviously isn't just Sunday morning. You can use them throughout the week to, what I'm saying is, it's intentionally connecting your gifts and talents to things that are going to change people's lives for eternity. Yeah. Like, let's say you're a tremendous businessman, but if you've only used your business savvy to make money, then you're not necessarily using that gift as worship. Use your business savvy to help start some non-for-profit agencies that are feeding and clothing homeless and poor and sending missionaries. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Now you've taken your gift and you've put eternal purposes upon it. All of us have gifts and talents. Again, some people would love to just give an offering, sing a song, and get out the door. But we must also worship God with our talents. If you're a teacher, teach. If you're a prophet, prophesy. If you're an administrator, administrate. If you're a leader, lead. If you're a giver, give. If you're, you know, hospitable, then use your hospitality in the house of God and with believers and non-believers to bring them closer to Jesus and make their lives better. Give your gifts. It's part of your worship to God. I'm giving you these little boxes. And in these little boxes, they're completely and totally empty, just so you know. So I'm not actually giving you anything. Surprise! No. These little boxes represent more of a symbolic thing that I want you to see. And that's something that you're giving to the Lord. I'm not going to collect these. This is something that I want you to take some thought and some ideas and prayer about and begin to ask the Lord, because we're talking about worship here. And in being worshipers, it's more than our song. It's more than us coming in with singing. It's us coming in preparing offerings. It's us coming in giving of our talents. It's us coming in saying, God, I give you my whole life. Our worship experience here would go through the roof if every single person just said, Jesus, I sell out to you 100%. I stop giving you half my heart. I stop being double-minded. I stop having one foot in, one foot out. I put myself in the offering plate today. If you want me to, I'll buy real big offering plates so you can step inside of them. But if all of us here just sold out and said, God, I just give you me today, our worship would just go through the roof. Because it's real, it's genuine, it's authentic. That's what God's looking for. And so today, this little box is just, you know, something for you to check off a little thing, maybe a couple of them, and to put maybe on your dresser, put in your car over the next week or so, and really consider the offerings you're worshiping God with. You say, God, I'm making a fresh commitment to the Lord with my talents, For some of you, it's time to get involved. It's time for you to use your talents to make this church grow and expand and do more and be more and reach more people and function better and minister to the children, the next generation of church. Not babysit, amen? The next generation of the kingdom of God. Use your gifts, use your talents. God, I'm not just going to sit anymore. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to worship you with my talents. And maybe it's not even in here, maybe it's out there, but you're still going to say, I'm going to purposely take my talent and make them work in the kingdom. Or you say, God, I'm going to start taking my tithe and my offering more seriously. I'm going to stop pretending like I'm shocked every time the offering basket comes by, and I'm going to prepare something. I'm going to be deliberate. I'm going to be intentional. Lord, I want my worship to move from the song part into the offering part. I don't want to miss that opportunity. I make a fresh commitment. And again, I'm not receiving an offering today, and I'm not asking you to commit to me because you're not giving an offering to me. This is between you and God. I'm asking you to just say, God, I'm going to start taking it more seriously. And God, I'm going to start using it as actual worship and not just getting through something. Or finally, you might say other. The other might be you. The other might be say, God, there's something else. I want to make a fresh commitment, you know, in my life to give to you as my offering, as my worship, because I love you. You've been dealing with me about it. Maybe God's been dealing with you about an addiction, and you're saying, God, it's your. I take it, you know. Or maybe God's been dealing with you about some other act of obedience, and it's like today, yes, it's yours. Take it all. You're my God. This is my offering. And so as you do that, you can mark that down, take them home with you, pray over them. And I really believe God will do something special, supernatural in our lives with our offerings. Go ahead and stand. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Yes. Amen. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' wonderful name, I bless Life Church. I bless them as believers. I bless them as couples, singles, new believers, believers that have been around for a long time. Lord, we want to be people that are worshipers. Not just singers, worshipers. Lord, I pray that worship is what Christians do. It's what we do. We worship you with our whole life. If we've been half-hearted and one foot in, one foot out, God, we repent. And we say, Lord, we put ourselves in the offering plate. It's time for you to take all of us. I'm not going to wrestle with you anymore. I give you everything. So, Lord, today, maybe that's the offering. We give you ourselves as an offering, saying, take me, Jesus. Take all of me. For some of us, Lord, this whole deal is with offerings because of hurt, wounds, things that have happened in the past, wrong teaching, prejudice in our heart. The offering has been something that's always bugged us. We've always hated it. We've always had some sort of an internal resentment towards it. And Lord, today I break that off of us. And Lord, I pray that we get a mindset shift and begin to see that offering as part of our worship. Something that's important, something that's of value, something that speaks about how much we love you. And Lord, right now, I just pray that you help us have a mindset change and to begin to enjoy those parts of expressing our worship to you. Some of us in this room got our talents. It's time to use our talents for Jesus, for singers, for ministers, for workers, for whatever, gifted in certain areas. Give us spiritual vision of how to connect those gifts to eternal purposes. God, we give you those talents right back. You didn't give us these talents to work just for ourselves. You gave us these talents to affect eternal plans and purposes. So I bless it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I dismiss you, though, I want to give people an opportunity today, maybe even those watching on the internet. Like I said, God's not looking for money. He's looking for you. And this morning, maybe some of you have not given your hearts to the Lord. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means everybody needs a Savior. There's not one of us that when we die, earn our way to heaven because we're so good. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say, all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is for you. He's not against you. You know, some people think, I'm too bad. I've done too much wrong. I've done this. I've done that. And God's not talking about your past right now. He's talking about your future. The blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, is more than enough to forgive any stain on your life. And so today I want to give you an opportunity truly to give yourself to the Lord today. Maybe that's your offering, coming back to Jesus, or maybe for the first time giving your heart to Him. Would you please bow your heads, close your eyes for a second? I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you and all that stuff. but I want to pray for you. I just want to know who I'm praying for. And if that's you today, and you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to give my life to Jesus today, or I want to re-give my life to Jesus because I've fallen away, I want to give myself to him. If that's you, would you acknowledge you want prayer by just slipping up your hand and saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today? There's a hand in the back. Thank you. There's a hand on that side. There's two over there. Thank you. Anybody else? There's three over there. Anybody else? Just pop up your hand. Say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to get my life right with the Lord today. Anybody else today? There's another hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else? I need to get right with Jesus today. Don't leave this place out of relationship with God. Just pop up a hand and we'll pray for you right where you are. All right, church, let's all pray together so they're not praying by themselves. And if you're watching on the internet, you pray along with us. Pray something like this. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate that? There's probably four or five that raised their hands today. Amen. Have the altar teams come down. We got some great workers here. They're here to pray for you today. When I dismiss these workers that are going to be down here, they're here to pray for healings. If you need healings, breakthroughs, miracles, be filled with the Spirit. They're here to help you any way they can. They're good quality people. You can trust them. If you raise your hands to receive the Lord today, behind our cameras is a New Beginnings area where we have Bibles and people there that would love to resource you and help you any way we can so that you're not walking this journey by yourself. Let me bless you and dismiss you. God bless Life Church as they go. We go giving you ourselves and worshiping you with all of us. I just give you thanks and praise as we go that we would be singing and worshiping and enjoying Jesus throughout this entire week. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go.